Let's just, before we get into the testimonies, briefly mention a few things about sharing your testimony. How many of you know everything we do, we got to learn how to do it? Amen. Number one, don't listen to the or hear the word testimony and get the wrong idea. You're telling about your test and your moaning. Testimony is something that glorifies God. It doesn't moan and groan and go on and on about what the devil's saying, what the devil's doing, what the devil did. How many of you know in your testimony you give enough information of the circumstances so that people know, you know, a little what was going on, but then you go on and on about what God did. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen. That helped encourage me. It helped encourage me because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, which if you'll the Bible said the spirit of prophecy is the how's that verse go? Your testimony is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You ever read that in the book of Revelation? One of the last, there in the last chapter, I think. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You can get the spirit of prophecy on you testifying. What does that mean? You can get inspired.
Yeah, come on.
Prophecy is inspired utterance in a known tongue. You can get inspired sharing your testimony. But the Bible, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit can come on you. But the Bible said, Jesus said, what is that, 14th or 16th chapter, I believe, 14th verse, I think. Well, you know what I'm talking about, where it talks about Jesus, it talks about the Holy Ghost coming. And he said, whenever he's come, he'll glorify me.
Yes. Yes.
He'll glorify. The Holy Ghost doesn't glorify you, he glorifies Jesus.
Yes.
So to get get the anointing on you, because you're going to be a greater blessing telling your testimony by getting inspired by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 Amen. And you bless people with your testimony. And the anointing get on you, you get inspired just telling them what God did for you. And when as you glorify God, the anointing comes on you. And he'll bring glory to God. That's the purpose of a testimony. In fact, go over here to the book of Acts. Let's just look at a verse. We're not going to go long preaching or anything. I mean, just kind of give you a few pointers here about how to give your testimony. But Acts chapter number 15, look with me at verse number 12. I like this passage. This is one meeting I'd have loved to have been in. Here in Acts chapter number 15, verse number 12. It tells about Paul and Barnabas coming back from a journey, one of their trips, ministry trips. And it says in verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. I'd like to have been in that meeting. Yeah. They didn't just go come back and tell what they preached. They came back telling what God did. You know, the Bible says in Acts 10:38, we talk about Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
But go back to verse 36. Yeah. If you go back in Acts 10:36, it talks about that word which you know was published through all Judea.
Yeah.
Published.
Yeah.
What does it mean to publish something? Well, just spread the news.
Yes. That's right.
What that word that Jesus preached, he spread everywhere he went. And because, you know, remember Jesus told Brother Hagin in one of the visions, he said, whenever I went to a city, the first thing, I took a text and I preached. The Spirit of the Lord's on me.
Yeah.
What I did in my hometown, I didn't just do that in my hometown. I did that everywhere. Hometown, I did that everywhere.
Yeah.
I took that text and I preached, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He preached the anointing. He preached how God had anointed him and what they could receive. Well, and then Brother Hagin came back from that vision and said, people said, well, how do you know that's not in the Bible? How do you know Jesus did that? And Brother Hagin said, well, do you got evidence he didn't?
All right.
And he said, well, I guess not. But see, Acts 10:36 says he did.
Come on.
He published the anointing everywhere he went.
Come on.
He talked about that anointing. He told about that anointing. And he told what would happen.
That's right.
So that's not a revelation that's unscriptural that Jesus did that everywhere he went. But here's the point. You look up the word publish, it means to tell and to proclaim. But actually, you boil it down to what it really means, it means to happen or come to pass. So in other words, everywhere he went, he told what happened.
That's good.
In other words, he told about the anointing, and then he told about testimonies in other places, what had happened.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Woo! Oh, is it scriptural to tell what God did?
Yes.
You know, we're living epistles known and read of all men. Yeah. The Bible says we're living epistles. Do you know, we don't just publish the word by telling God, telling people what God said, but we publish the word by telling people what God did.
That's right. Amen.
What'd he do? What'd he do?
Come on. Yes.
Are we just up here preaching and nothing's happening? No, good things are happening.
Yes.
Good things are happening. People's testimonies is how people find that out. And really, the more we tell it, the more. See, we ought to be inspired. We ought to be interested in telling our testimony. You say, I don't know how to share Jesus with my coworkers or whatever. Just why don't you tell them what God did? You can just tell them, I'll tell you it beats anything I've ever seen. What beats anything? Let me tell you what something happened to me. You know, that you go to preaching the Bible and they'll go, I don't believe that. But you tell them what happened, they go, huh.
Yeah.
They go away and they go, huh.
Yeah.
That'll stick with them all day long, you know.
Amen.
You didn't even quote a verse.
Nope. Right.
Yeah.
Just told them what happened.
Yep.
And you know what you're doing? You're glorifying God. Yes. You're testifying to his faithfulness.
Yes. Come on now.
I mean, people want to hear some life. They want to hear the word with some flesh on it. You know what I mean? Just some experience. This is what happened. This is what happened. You read the whole book of Acts. Most of the book of Acts. It's just what happened. The Gospels is just what happened. This devil came out. This person was healed. This person raised from the dead. Multiplied the food over here. Just a bunch of stories. We should take the word just off of that. Not just. I mean, these are life-changing. And you know, because somebody told their story, we have the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said when she had heard of Jesus, it didn't say she heard Jesus. She heard of him.
That's right.
Somebody told, they had been in his meeting, told what he said, and told what happened.
Yes. Amen.
And you know what it did? It opened the door for it to happen again.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, glory be to God. The more you tell it, the more it'll happen. The more you tell it, the more it'll happen. Brother, Dr. Dufresne said that the Lord told him, remember he had that experience where they were needing that, what was it, I don't recall the amount, $130,000 or something like that, for to pick up the option on their building in California. You remember that? And I mean, the money just wasn't there, but they were going to have to, you know, because it was a lease purchase lease to buy kind of option to buy after a certain time. But if you don't have that money to buy it, well then, you know, you just have to move somewhere else. You lost all that money that you put into it by the lease, from the lease. But so they believe in God. And you remember that angel went and stood in that man's room and told him to go down there and give that money.
Yeah.
Amen. And so then that man had that, and he came and gave it. And then he came back a few weeks later and gave the rest of it, not only to pick up the lease option, but to pay the whole building off. Said the angel came back, stood in the room again. I like that testimony. But the brother Hagin, I mean, Dr. Dufresne said, the Lord told him, he said, if you'll tell that more, if you'll tell that more, that'll give those angels an opportunity to do that some more.
Amen.
I think too many angels are standing on the unemployment line. Another angel walks by and say, what's wrong? Well, I work for Joe Blow Christian over there, but he never says anything.
Come on.
He never talks about the word, never talks about what God did for him, never, and so we just don't have anything to do. You know? Let's tell it. What do you say? Let's just tell people. Tell people what God did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next generation needs to hear. They need to find out how big our God is and what he's done. I mean, it's one thing for them to go to church and say, well, you know, I heard all that. But it's another thing for everybody at church has a testimony talking about how it worked for them. They'll remember that.
Yes, sir.
I said they'll remember that. Glory. Well, praise the Lord. Let's look at one more passage of scripture here. Go over to Psalm, the book of Psalms. There's a purpose for telling our testimony. And one of the main purposes is to bring glory to God. And if you read, we read Acts chapter 15, you're going to Psalms, but let me give you the reference here. If you go to, what's wrong with my program here? Anyway, it's all messed up. No, it's not. I got it in another place. I know where it's at. But if you read, we've read Acts 15. I'll get you the right passage here in Psalm. I think it's Psalm 78. But you read Acts chapter number 21, and you'll find that they came back again. Acts 21, verse 18 through 20, came back again. Paul and Silas, I believe it was, came back again and told and again what that God had done. And the Bible said they glorified God.
That's right. Yeah.
In other words, everybody just worshiped God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. That's the purpose of one of the purposes of testimonies is to bring glory to God. How many of you want to bring more glory to God? I mean, really, if we're not going to tell our testimony, if we're not going to honor our experience with God and our experience with the Word and what God did by telling it, we're not going to honor it enough by telling it, then we won't get to participate more in those kinds of things. I want to have more and more testimonies all the time. I do have more and more testimonies all the time. I'll be honest, the reason I don't tell more of them is because I'm not sure how many. It's getting to the place I'm not sure how many people can handle some of these things. Hallelujah. I just tell it as the Lord leads me. But people need to sort of have their socks blown off sometimes. They need to be challenged sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, what's happening in your life isn't happening in a lot of people's lives. I said it's not happening in a lot of people's lives. Anyway, did you find Psalm 78? Look at verse, I'm going to read the Amplified. Look at verse 4 through 7. It says, this is the Amplified, Psalm 78, 4 through 7. We will not hide them, talking about the precepts and what God had said to them. We will not hide those things from their children. Our father's children, in other words, you know, their grandchildren, our children. But we will tell to the generation to come the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonderful works that he has performed. For he established a testimony, an express precept in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel. What is that law? Commanding our fathers that they should make the great facts of God's dealings with Israel known to their children. Whoa. This is not an option. This is a commandment. Tell people what God's doing. Tell people what God has done. Did you see that? That's a law. God said, I want you to tell the great facts of God's dealings with Israel and make it known to your children, that the generation to come might know them, and the children still to be born might arise and recount them to their children. Amen. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but might keep his commandments. Praise be to God. Amen. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? That's God saying, I want you to tell it. Remember the Bible said, Jesus ministered that madman of Gadara. The Bible said, what is that, Mark 5? The Bible said that whenever, they sought leave to go into the demons, sought leave to go into the pigs. And they did. Remember the pigs ran off and down into the water. They knew they had better sense than to live with the devil in them. But anyway, some people ought to get enough that much sense. But they the people that saw it went into the town. And they it freaked them out. They told everybody and the whole city came out. I don't know how long that would have taken. Maybe an hour, 2 hours, you know. We don't know how long that was, but it wasn't that long. And found the man sitting at Jesus' feet, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He's listening to Jesus teach the word. See, the Bible said, when unclean spirit's going out of a man, he's going to try to come back. Matthew 12 says, Jesus says he's going to try to come back. But if we put the word in people, he won't be able to get back in. He said, I'm going to go back to my house. He called it his house. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get into people. Satan tries to get into people because he can get a greater range of expression in the natural realm and say things through their mouth and spread what they're saying and so forth and so on. Act out and do different things. So he said, I'm going to go back. But Jesus is putting the word in him so that this man would be protected when the devil, Jesus knew the devil was going to come back. And so he said, they saw him sitting and clothed, Jesus is teaching him, and in his right mind. And they besought him that he should depart from their coast. They had heard about the pigs, you know. And they besought him that they should depart, or he should depart from their coast. So Jesus was going. And remember, the man that had been demon possessed, he besought the Lord that he could go with him. He didn't want to leave him. Well, I mean, why would you? I mean, you got your help. You found your help. Praise God. And so he said, and Jesus says, the Bible said, Jesus suffered him not. But he said, go and tell your friends. Go tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. Now, this man couldn't have been free from those demons more than a couple of hours. Maybe half a day. I doubt if it was even that long. I mean, he's just a young believer, you would say. Just brand new, just set free. And here, the Lord instructed him to start giving his testimony.
Yes.
Why? Isn't that a young believer, vulnerable, still young? Not baby Christian. So, yeah, I mean, Jesus hadn't died yet, but you know, in one sense of the word, we'd say today, baby Christian. Why would God put such responsibility on a young person like that? To tell what God done for him. Because when you tell it, it strengthens you.
Yes.
It strengthens you. And you need that strength.
Amen.
You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
That's right.
You need to tell it. It'll help you to tell it.
Yes, it will.
I said it'll help you to tell it. And not just in church whenever we have testimony. I mean testimony service. I mean get out there in the world. Get out there in the highways and byways and just throw your testimony in there. In everyday common lay conversation.
Yes, sir.
Just beats anything I've ever seen. What's that? Well, I got to tell you something that happened to me. I got to tell you something happened. And you tell what God did.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes. And you know what? If you've always got something to tell.
Yeah.
It'll eventually get their attention. They might believe God's dead. You know, they're an atheist or something like that. But you get to tell them about all God's doing in your life. They'll start having dreams about Jesus and dreams. He'll start using that testimony to get their attention. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how many of you want to hear some good testimonies? Do you know many people... many people were healed in Brother Hagin's ministry because he kept telling about being raised off the deathbed. He just kept on telling it, just kept on telling it. Somebody said, I've already heard that. He didn't care. He just kept on telling it, just kept on telling it. I love the story of John Osteen, the pastor, you know, went on to heaven. His son Joel now pastors there. In that church. But John Osteen was good friends with Brother Hagin. And he told his testimony so often that his congregation, he would tell one line and his congregation would, he'd stop and then the congregation would tell the next line.
Right. Good.
Yes.
Good.
That's how often you need to tell it. Just tell it. Keep on talking about it. Keep on talking about it. And that's what the children of Israel were commanded to do. Just keep on talking about the bread that came out of the sky. Just keep on talking about the water, the Red Sea that split. Just keep on talking about the snakes that couldn't bite us. Just keep on talking. Just keep on talking. Just keep on talking. Just keep on talking. Just keep on talking.
Amen.
They decide they want to go off to the devil and serve the devil. That'll follow them right wherever they go.
Hallelujah.
Richard Sigmund's book talks about, remember that man, My Time in Heaven, I think it was called. He went to heaven, and the Bible said, not the Bible, that he said, but this is in line with the Bible because of a story, but I'll tell you the story. But remember the Bible said Cornelius, he said, had an angel appeared to him, send men, I was at the Joppa, and call for one Peter.
Yes.
And, you know, he'll come and tell you words whereby you'll be saved. But the angel appeared to him. That's not the first thing he said. He said, your prayer, this is a man that wasn't even saved. Your prayer and your alms are come up as a memorial before God.
Yes, they did.
A memorial before God.
You got it.
Richard Sigmund's revelation gave us some more insight into that. He said in heaven, there's a whole section of one part there where there's living memorials. You can walk and you can stop and you can listen to somebody's testimony.
Amen.
And that memorial is permanent in the spirit realm, permanent in heaven, and just goes on and on and keeps on telling that testimony. And then you can go to the next one. And here's another person that they tell all the good workings of God. And you, he said, you can just go on down and on. Keep, you can go, he said, long, long line of testimonies you can hear. And they're living memorials to what God had done, works that he had done in the earth, things he had used people to do, things that had happened, things that God worked. And they bring glory to God for eternity. It'd be sad for you to tell your testimony once and it brings God glory only one day. Let's bring glory to him our whole life. What do you say? And then when we get to heaven, just tell everybody again. And go down to our video screen and says, there's the story right there. Come over here and watch this. I want you to see what God did for me.
Oh, amen. Oh, yeah.
Woo, glory. Well, are you ready to hear some good testimonies?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you, let's see here. I've got a list of some. Like I said, we didn't have as many this time. I think I got the message out too late. And plus, there's still some people out of town. You can see that. But anyway, let's just start out with Leanne. Why don't you come up here? Praise God. And then since your husband just loves to get in front of people and talk, you can tell his too.
Tell him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I have two.
Yeah.
The first one's kind of short.
Share three.
But I got, all right, I got a lot. First, I want to say, you know, you got to love people, right? And you know, we had that COVID-19 come through.
Uh-huh.
Right? Pastor Jay said to me, that we forbid the transfer of COVID-19 to any man, woman, or child out of Lolly Salon. Do you know what happened? Not a one. I have a girl that works with me. She had two or three roommates, and she worked at a restaurant. Everyone around her is getting COVID. But guess what? She never got it. Mm-hmm. She got tested many times. I mean, God did that, people. Not one person.
Yeah.
And no Demacron is coming through lollies. No whatever it's called. Demacron, that's what you said. None of it is coming through lollies to any man. No transfer to any man, woman, or child. That's how good God is. No, really. She was around sick people. She didn't get it.
Yeah.
That means nobody in her, you know, nothing. So praise the Lord for that, right? That's how good he is. he's so good. Okay, so then, you know, we had camp meeting. I know it's going personal. Okay, so we had camp meeting, and I had this cough thing that kept happening to me in the middle of the night, and it was ridiculous.
Oh, and this is a good testimony.
Praise God.
You need to step up to the pulpit to tell this.
All right.
Yeah.
So this cough would come in the middle of the night.
I'm paying attention. I'm just.
And it was like, it was a heavy cough. It was starting in the middle of the night, not during the day usually, in the middle of the night. And it was so hard on my heart. Like my heart felt like it was outside of my chest. It was like, boom. And I'm like, Matt, I need you to get in agreement with me because spirit of fear would come on. And I'd be like, whew, she shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Because you know your heart. Well, I never felt my heart like that. So that continued for a whole camp meeting. We got set behind pastors here, and I was like, oh, Lord, oh, I love, want to be there because it's an honor to sit there. But that cough thing, I was embarrassed, and I had to get up a couple times because it didn't come through the morning, but this morning it came through, and I coughed behind Pastor Debbie, and she don't care. I mean, but, well, you know what I mean. But she saw me, and she turned around, and she laid hands on me, and something went in, and I just took note. It was like a pin or something hit me, and it just stayed with me the whole time. And I thought, that's interesting. And so, but the cough kept happening. I'm like, I'm not giving any place to that cough. It's got to go. And I believe, God, that anything that was on me wouldn't get on any person. So I knew, because we got faith people. Like the people with the COVID story, they don't have faith. That's why you got to be in love with the people. Because their faith is in the vaccine and in the doctors, which is great and all, if that's what you want. But you got to have love for the people. So We get here, and that night we come, and Pastor Nancy, she's looking over, and she was didn't even get her sermon going, and she looks over, and she goes, yep, I'll do that. And so she started calling up people with hearts and high blood pressure. And, well, I got the high blood pressure. I don't call it mine because it ain't mine. It's got to go. So I came up here, and we're up in this line. I'm standing right about here. She comes up to me, and this is God. And she stepped back, and she said, there was an angel working on me. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. All right. You know, and I could tell my breathing was
that
like
the first time.
Some of the, no, amen. Yeah. The breathing. And I was like, okay. So then when I stood up, something happened. I don't know who, someone, angel, God, boom, set me back a couple steps. And I was like, oh yeah, something happened. Okay. And then she said to me, this is your mercy healing. And God's going to speak more to me about my health. Well, I was thinking in my own brain, well, it's obvious, you know, I got to work out and lose some of this weight. That's why you got on that high blood pressure medication. But anyways, I'm in the car and I'm driving home and I'm like, okay, God, it's just you and me. We're in this car together. You told me you're going to tell me some things. I'm listening. I'm hearing. And he says, and I was waiting for him to say, lose the fat. You know, I'm waiting to hear this, you know, and I was like ready for it. And you know what he said to me? He said, you've been worrying about your boys. And I said, really? And I mean, if you would have said that, even pastor, and he don't lie, I would have said he was lying. Because I really...
I know exactly what that's like.
I never thought I was worrying.
You don't realize until the Lord says it.
And it happened right on that bridge, right up there to get on 30, right over there. I'll never forget where it happened. I was like, and then he gave me examples. And I was like, oh, Lord. And I repented right there in my car, crying all the way home. Repented. And he, you know, of course, the love of God was in my car the whole way to my house. I get in. I get to bed and I lay down. And 2:30, here comes that cough. And I said, are you kidding me? So that cough is happening. And it was like so intense. And all of a sudden, it was as if an angel stuck his hand, boom, down in to my lung, pulled something out, and I coughed something out and spit it in the trash. Matt said I should look for it, but I didn't want to do that. That thing got out of me.
He didn't offer to do it, did he?
No, he didn't. He's trying to get his sleep on. The rest of that night, I slept like a baby. A baby. That's how good God is. I slept like a baby.
Amen.
And the rest of the time, it was all... Oh, I should tell this. There was one time, it was you or Pastor Debbie that said to Teresa about taking some deep breaths. Before that happened, I had impressed on my heart to start taking some deeper breaths. And then that kind of thing happened, and then all that happened that I said. So, giving God the glory.
Yes,
hallelujah.
The glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, babe. Come on.
Let's just thank God for while he's coming.
Amen.
Let's just thank God. Father, thank
you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for healing our sister, Father.
We thank you.
In Jesus' name. You are so good and so merciful. Thank you for being merciful to her body, but also being merciful to show her where the door was open. You're so faithful, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for her. You'll do for any one of us. You are no respecter of persons. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, now.
You see how we did that? We just kind of pulled you up here.
That was great.
Step on up to the podium.
I don't even know what Pastor said about the last couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. You had walked out.
I was not even in here yet. So when she coughed the stuff up, she said it was like this big and a giant thing, so I wanted to see it. But I couldn't. That's me. Okay, so I struggle with this because it's not like somebody laid hands on me and I was good. But Leanne always says to me, but did you die? So let's tell you a story about this year. This year's been interesting. And I didn't die. I'm still here. So early February, I assume a lot of you know this stuff, but I had some crazy heart rate stuff, and I got hospitalized for 4 days and ate like twice the entire time, so I was rather grumpy there. But they did surgery on me, and they went in, and I was completely awake, and they burnt the inside of my heart and felt it every time, and it feels like it's on fire, so I don't advise it. But while it was happening, the very last one, I didn't know it was the last one. But the last time it burnt, I felt it burning, and then my heart stopped, and I heard, "It is finished." Kind of, sort of corny because it was from the Easter movie, but that's what I heard. So that's what happened, right? And my heart stopped, and I was like, "Finished, huh?" And then everything was fine, and I was good, and it was done, right? But it was a little freaky. Sorry, but
they went to cauterize a nerve.
Yes. So my heart was the ventricle that pumps the blood to the rest of my body would beat crazily, so no blood went anywhere. So I wanted to try to go to my head. I about passed out multiple times. It was kind of bad, but as soon as that happened, I was good. Boom, fine. Everything was totally fine, and I did totally heard that. I didn't make that up. And then they sent me home the next day. Drove home. Everything is fine. Then I had two hand surgeries, which all went fine. That was because my deductible was done, so I'm like, just fix these while they're paying for it. So that one, there's nothing to talk about there. Everything there is fine. All went good. Then, in September, I was hospitalized again because the fear tried to come on me about the heart again. It was really totally a fear attack. And we went in, and they hospitalized me one day, and my doctor is an old Russian guy. And he's like, "This is not going to kill you. Why are you here?" So I left, right? He's like, "You don't have to stay." I'm like, "All right, let's go." So I left. I haven't seen the guy since, but that's totally what he said to me. He's like, "This will not kill you. Quit going to the emergency room." So I haven't had a
problem. He must have known it wasn't physical. It was a fear attack.
He must have, right? But he made me wear a heart monitor for 30 days after that, right? So when Reverend Joel Siegel was here, I was wearing it underneath everything. Y'all didn't know. In my pocket. And I was working hard one service as an usher, keeping every him standing up. And then he was on the floor here, if y'all remember, right? And I came to him. He's like, "Come here, come here." Yeah. So I'm thinking I'm picking him up, right? So I'm in my trying to get to that zone where I can pick him up. And he touched me, and I think I was in the air, but the video showed I wasn't. But it felt like I was in the air, and I hit that. And I was out, and I was down. Then Pastor came and laid hands on me. I remember, I don't know what he said, but I know he did it, right? Still have the heart monitor on. Remember that, right? And then every time something happened, I was supposed to push a button and say what happened, right? All of these things. So they would log it, right? And there's people monitoring it through the cell phone towers 24/7. So if something was going really bad, they'd call me and say, "Hey, you need to go to the hospital." Right? So anyway, that was halfway through maybe of the 30 days. I had nothing on my monitor from that point on. No button pushes by me, nothing that they got all worried about, right? They sent me the dates of all of it, right? It came up in my chart, and so I started looking. I'm like, look at this date. From there on, nothing.
Praise God.
Nothing that alarmed them, nothing that I pushed the button. So I did get my hands laid on right there, right? So then the last thing is I got hit in the face and my retina detached. So I had surgery for both eyes that Halloween night. One to keep this one from detaching again and one to put this one back. I've kind of been downplaying it, but it was a pretty big surgery. And God was working there too, because the doctor that ended up doing it, he comes in. He's like, "Do you know Slaymakers from Marengo?" I'm like, "Yep." And he says, "How about Carol?" I'm like, "Yeah, she's my aunt." He's like, "She was my nurse for 35 years, so we're going to make this all good for you." And so when I was in the ER, they didn't even look at this eye, right? They only looked at the one that got detached. But he's like, "We need to look at the other eye too." So that's why both eyes got fixed, because of my connection through the family, right? The ER docs were all worried about the fact I couldn't see out of this eye, right? But he's like, "Oh, wait, if this happened here, let's look here." And so they did both of them at the same time. Now I have 20/20 here, 20/20 through a pinhole on this side. A few more weeks and I'll be 100%. So I didn't die. She always says, "But did you die?" And no, I'm not gonna either. Oh, so again, this isn't going to kill you, doctor. Wanted me to do an MRI, which I don't like small tubes, but I would hit it. Right, hour and 45 minutes of checking everything with the giant magnet, right? And I have mesh, and it's a hernia right here, so when it went low, it was like fluttering. I'm like, is that going to rip out? Anyway, different story. It's kind of weird, right? Felt like things were moving down there. Anyway, it's in the abdominal area. Relax. I got the report there, again, my chart. So I have a degree in physiology and anatomy, so I know what I'm reading when I'm reading those charts. Nothing abnormal at all in my heart. Not one Hallelujah. Thing. Every measurement was 100% in spec. So, again, there's nothing wrong with me anymore. I didn't die. God fixed me a lot this year.
Yes.
A lot. Well, next year will be way
Thank
better.
You, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He opposed you at that door going into the next phase.
Amen.
You're going into the next phase.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing, Matt. Amen. Praise the Lord. People of unbelief will say things like the right doctor being there to your eye doctor. That's just a coincidence. People of unbelief say that's just a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine arrangements. I believe in amen, divine connections, the right person at the right time. Somebody's anointed to help you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Is Linda Shepherd here? There you are, sitting right here. Come on up, Linda. There you go. Step right up. You can stand behind there.
Well, praise God. I just want to give honor to God and to Pastor Debbie. I just want to thank God just for this year. I'm free. Going back and forth, you know, the only time I go to the doctors is for a physical. I don't go really any other time unless you drop something on your foot and then you have to go. And that's another story. But anyways, I had been going to the doctor. I went for a physical this last year, and I should be reading my notes because it'd be a little bit easier to say whatever I'm saying. Here at Spirit of Faith Family Church, when Pastor Nancy was here, the wave came.
Yeah.
And the wave, the healing yeah. wave, and the wave, and the waves of healing came forth. And she spoke about those that had heart problems and high blood pressure and things like that. And so I took that. And I said, the next time I go to the doctors, my blood pressure is going to be where it needs to be, whatever that number is. Because I really don't know what the number is, but I just knew it needed to be lower than what it's been the last three times I had gone. And that amount was 180 over 90 is what they were saying, and they wanted me on medicine every time I went. And so I said, no, I'm not taking medicine. I didn't have it on my heart to take medicine. I've heard, you know, every time you turn the TV on, well, we got to call in this medicine because now it causes cancer. Now this one's taking this and that. This one is doing this. And so it was never on my heart to take blood pressure medicine. And so I said, okay, Lord, you're in your word. You said by your stripes I'm healed and I am whole. Mm. And so as Pastor Debbie has called forth, laid hands for the heart, Pastor Nancy has said it. Dr. Dufresne has said it through these different years. Each year I would take it and I said, God, you said that I have this healing in me. But I'd go to the doctor and then all of a sudden they're like, your heart, blood pressure. And I said, no, I am not taking medicine. So they put in my chart that religious beliefs says I will not take medicine. And so as it came to pass, I think after the derecho or somewhere, I don't know. Anyways, I had to go to the ER. The blood pressure, they said, was up to 218 over something. And the doctor came in and she said to the nurse, just have her sign this paper. And she walked out. And I'm like, sign the paper? I'm not signing anything because I don't even know what the paper's for. And so she called the doctor back in. She said, you said you won't go to the ER because of the blood pressure to get help. I said, I didn't say anything because you didn't say anything. She never said anything. She just wanted me to sign a paper. And I said, she said, well, according to your records, it says that you won't take blood pressure medicine because of your religious beliefs. I said, I'm here at the doctor's because I need help. So I came to get help. And with that help, whatever it is, if it's taking a little bit of medicine to get the help that I need, I'm going to take the medicine. So you'll go to the ER? Well, yes, ma'am, if that's what I need to do is to go to the ER. And so came to the point that they had checked me. I had shingles, and like I said, I went to the ER and stayed there the day and whatever. Still didn't. They put me on some medicine, I guess, brought it down, left. And so every time after the wave, I said, next time I go to the doctor's, it's going to be where it needs to be. And so Ms. Cam said, Linda, schedule your physical. I said, yes, ma'am. Scheduled the physical, went in. I said, the next time, which is this time, it's going to be where it needs to be. And so they did the blood pressure medicine, the test, whatever. Thank you, Jesus. They took the blood pressure, and it was 144 over 80. And she said, I just need you down at least another four or whatever. And I said, okay, it'll come down. Because by your word, by your stripes, I'm healed and I am whole. And I'm not taking any medicine because you didn't tell me to take medicine. But I'm healed and I'm whole. And I have things that I need to do. I've been walking further, been working on my knees. Pastor Debbie has laid hands. I'm a lot stronger. I'm strong. I'm healed. I'm whole. I park further out. You know, I don't always take that second parking lot and go inside. Come back. You know, it's a lot stronger. I'm using wisdom on days that I'm able to do that and days that I'm not able to do that. God is saying, you know, he's giving me that close parking. And so I just thank the Lord for that. Thank him for his goodness and his love and just all that he's doing in my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Healing is called, the word healing, if you look it up, it's the recovery of the body from a disease condition. And we get our focus on the instantaneous sometimes, and thank God everything's available instantaneous. But but healing is a recovery. Sometimes it's a process of us laying hold of it. And somebody said, well, you know, well, but what about laying hold of it right now? Any way it comes, it's your beat staying sick. It's your beat staying sick. Amen. So thank God. Praise God with Linda. Just lift your hands and thank God. Amen. Is Eric Manning here? I think I saw him earlier. There he is. No. Huh? Oh, he's on TV. Okay. He had a testimony. Here he comes. All right. I was going to pass it on to the next person. Come on in, Eric. Amen.
Surprise, Dawn. I wasn't sure if I was going to send the email in, and I didn't hear back, so I didn't think you were going to call me, so that's all right. So I just...
In season and out.
There we go. And so, anyways, about 4 years ago, I was sitting right where Cameron was, and it was towards the end of the service, and Pastor said, by the Spirit, he said, called me out, and he said, there's more ahead. Answers that will be as if you were saying, I've been waiting for that answer my whole life. And up to that point, I just kind of, like I went to Bible school, I went to Rhema like 20 years ago or whatever. And I just kind of lived a kind of boring life, you know, just come home, go to work. Didn't really know exactly why I went to Bible school in the first place. It was just kind of like, okay, I went there, you told me to go there, but I'm not really sure what you want me to do. But anyways, I took what Pastor said and I went and I was like, okay, answers that I've been waiting for my whole life, I'm going to pray and I believe it's going to happen. Well, it happened a little bit sooner than I expected. It was just like a couple days after. And it's just like God just downloaded something into my spirit. It was like a flash. I could just see all these different things, these places that he's put me in, these things that I was just naturally kind of drawn to or good at, like history and writing and making presentations and different things like that through previous jobs, through school or whatever. And it's just like I saw it all kind of like put together like pieces in a puzzle. And I was like, oh, I know what I'm supposed to do. And it was just kind of like it just kind of clicked. And so what he told me was I saw myself beginning to write and defend the Christian faith. You guys probably, especially around Christmas and Easter time, you see these stupid TV shows that are like, oh, yeah, the virgin birth, that never happened, you know, or the resurrection, well, that's obviously a fairy tale and a myth, and miracles don't happen and things like that. And so something that I've always just wanted to do is just defend that historically. I've always really liked history. And I think that's just something that's really important because kids go to college and they get taken out by hearing stupid things that their college professors say. And for 10 years, I had just been digging into that stuff as like a personal little hobby or whatever. But I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I started a blog about a year later doing that. And I thought, nobody's going to read this. You know, like, who's going to read this? Like, but okay, God, if you're telling me to do this, I'll do it. Even though I kind of argued and, you know, you write a blog and it's just like, it's going out there and you don't know if people are going to see it from Google or what's going to happen. But it ended up turning out pretty decent within a few months. People who were like influential in this kind of niche, this field called Christian apologetics would share my articles or whatever. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Like people that I respected and things like that. And so I told Pastor this and he was like, again, he saw something else in the spirit. He's like, yeah, you're going to write, but I also see you doing video and some other things. And I was like, okay. And when I prayed, I actually wrote down in my notes, like video. I knew video was part of it. But anyway, I just kind of put that on the shelf and was preparing sort of for it, but not really. The writing was doing well, and I just didn't want to like stop writing, and I just argued and argued with God. Like, YouTube is a mess, you know? Like, there's so many voices out there, and who's ever... you think I would have learned my lesson with the blogging that, like, people actually did want to read what I had to say, so they'd probably watch the videos too, but no, I just kind of fought kicking and screaming for a while, and... But I did start. I decided come hell or high water, I'm going to upload a video based on some of the content that I've made, you know, defending the Christian faith, talking about the historicity of the resurrection and the gospels and why they're reliable, why we can trust them. And I was like, come hell or high water, I'm going to post a video once a week. That's it. And so since then, I've uploaded 100 videos total. They've received 320,000 views just 1 year, 23,000 hours of watch time. They're about 5 to 10 minutes long. There's a few that are longer, some that are shorter. I have 5,500 subscribers, mostly U.S., but I thought it was really cool when you talked about all the people that were tuning into the live stream. And Don and I just both got like really excited, and we knew instantly like we got to do something and contribute somehow to the camera thing, because that was just cool. Because I could just like really relate to that, because I've had people contacting me from different parts of the world, like Greece, Turkey. They're like, can I translate your videos into my language and republish them?
Hallelujah.
Which is pretty cool. And just people from like all over the world, UK, Canada, Australia, Germany, India, Brazil, Philippines, and more. And because YouTube lets you monetize and different things like that, it's also been kind of a nice boost in income. I was able to grow a lot quickly, more quickly than I thought. People want to donate, and so that's been kind of nice. So it's not like a huge chunk of money, but it's money that we didn't have a year ago, which is pretty helpful. So I'm thankful for that. And it's like, I just would do this for free anyways, so anything else is a bonus. I just wanted to share a couple of things here. I get comments and emails saying, like, here's a couple. I was struggling with my faith, but you helped me a lot with my doubts. Another person said, you make really convincing videos that help me with atheist objections that I couldn't shake. And there are more like this that I could share. I got just one today. But this one I got this month, and I'm really excited about. It says, hello, I recently converted to Christianity and have loved your videos. And you should know that your videos were one of the biggest reasons I converted from atheism. So glory to God. Praise the Lord. Because
praise God. Praise right. God.
Because, again, I wasn't completely willing to do this, and I've fought it, and was like, I don't know, nobody's going to listen to me, and who's going to... If it was just for that one person, it was totally worth it, right?
Yeah.
And so I believe there's more good things ahead. It's just 1 year, and I'm just getting started, but I would just encourage you guys, like, this came because, well, I was trying to do the things the pastor was teaching on praying and all that other kind of stuff, and just fellowshipping with God. It's nothing spectacular. It's nothing magical or anything. And I know pastor's been talking about it in the blog, but also just being connected to a good church where a pastor can actually, like, see your face all the way back there and call you out and say something to you. So be here, because that's important.
Yeah.
And then you're still, there are things that are in you that are subtle that you probably don't even recognize. Things that, graces and gifts. And so just take the time, because God wants to talk to you about those things. And they could seem very natural and very simple. That's the way that it seemed to me. But he could put those all together and use you and step out and do it. You know, you don't want to live a life of regrets and wonder, like, 10 minutes later, 10 years later, like, what would have happened if I would have done that? So,
yeah.
Anyways, that's what I got. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Paul, whenever he ministered, he said, the Jews seek a sign and the Greeks seek wisdom. In other words, he would approach the Greeks. The Greeks of that day, that was the... culture, the worldwide nation of the day, sort of like America today, but they were analytical, rational. They had to have everything explained, and he said he approached them differently than he approached the Jews. The Jews just want a sign. The Greeks seek wisdom. Americans seek a logical explanation. Amen. So God has different ways of meeting different people. Yeah, you might not need what some people need. You know, they hear all the whatever's on the History Channel just saying all this Bible stuff's not true. It can't be true. Well, you might not need that, but I mean need that to be counteracted. But a lot of people do. So praise God. Amen. Thank you, Eric, for sharing that. Do you got something? Yeah. You didn't give me your testimony, but I'm standing up here and the Lord kept prompting me. I don't know what he's going to say, but it's going to be good.
So a couple things to take from this, just to preface it. What I want you to get at the end is your authority in prayer at the throne of grace, and pastors taught on that a lot. But then also God's healing and miracle working power. So in March of this last year, my dad had quadruple bypass surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And the surgery went well. The doctors were happy with it and everything, but he ended up not waking up from it. Like, they would go to wake him up, and what I was hearing at the time was that, well, he's combative when he wakes up. And I'm thinking, well, do your job. Put him in restraints. Do what you got to do. Like, wake him up. I know they got straps. You know what I mean? Like, but that was also during more of like the height of the hospital COVID stuff. So only one person could go in there, which was my stepmom, his wife, which was all good. I didn't sense that I absolutely had to be there. I had peace about it. But come to find out, what was happening is when he would go to wake up, his oxygen would drop super low. I mean, to the point to where it's like, okay, is he going to make it? So I would just pray about it and took authority over it, because as a direct relative like that, there's a certain amount of authority I knew I had in the spirit, which I also know that I don't necessarily have that for everybody, but for my direct father, my dad, then I knew, I was like, I can get a hold of this. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he ended up, and it took a while. So he ended up losing, like, his oxygen would go so low when he'd go to wake up. That was what they called struggling, because effectively what was happening is his oxygen would go so low and his arms would, you know, because you're literally at that point of, like, almost death, right? Yeah. So that ended up happening. Well, then they put him in a pretty much an induced coma for 14 days. And even Kim and I both, we were like, this, we're not in agreement with that. We expressed that to my stepmom. She expressed that to them. Long story short, from a medical standpoint, they said he had to be on it. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're not letting him go. And so we just kept, you know, holding it up in the spirit, kept a, really, it's like in the spirit, I just see, like, just keeping a hold of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just, you got it. Like, and no matter what happened, I'm not letting it go. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so he was in this induced coma for, like, on the 14th day, they were forced to take him off because you literally can't be on the medicine for that long. The whole time he's on a ventilator, the thing is doing his breathing for him, like, the whole nine yards. While he was in that coma, he got pneumonia. So all of these things are stacking up, but it was, I won't say it was weird because we're taught well, so I knew it was happening, but I just had so much peace about everything. Like, I never once thought about, oh, I got to go storm the hospital or something like that. It's like, no, in the spirit, we got it. You know what I mean? But what the Lord had said to me in prayer, he said, this is not how he's going to, it's not his time, and this is not how he's going to go. And there was a service we had where I was standing up front here, and Pastor, he came up and he said, hey, you know, what are you up here for? And I was getting a cloth, is what I was doing. And I told him, my dad had quadruple bypass, da-da-da. And he repeated the exact same words the Holy Ghost told me. He said, this is not his time, and it's not how he'll go. And it just, exact, like, word for word what the Holy Ghost had said. So that was just confirmation, which is another reason why it's such a benefit to have a pastor and a home local church. Had I been watching live stream, the Lord would have told me, because he's faithful, but the Lord also had that covering of a pastor to help me just continue to hold on. And so, anyways, Dad was at a hospital in Waterloo. He, on the 14th day, he ended up waking up. They were able to wake him up. On the 13th day, we had to make a decision on whether they would put a trach in. And they said, well, it's the best thing for him. I had peace about it. His wife had peace about it. And I said, yep, go ahead. I said, it's not going to stay, but go ahead. So they ended up doing it. On the 14th day, he wakes up and comes out of it. The pneumonia is gone. But he's still got the ventilator. He's still got the trach. They're feeding him through his stomach. He's been not moving at all because he was in the ICU. Well, in the ICU, their goal is not to keep you comfortable. Their goal is to keep you alive. So he ends up laying on his back for 14 days plus, you know, and ended up getting these. I mean, I don't want to gross nobody out, but you lay on your back long enough, you're going to get some sores back here that are not comfortable. And he ended up getting transferred to Des Moines to a specialty hospital, and I knew that was a turning point. He gets there, and things start turning around, and they got to do all these little tests. So with coming off a ventilator, they got to make sure that, okay, well, when he swallows ice chips, does it go down the correct tube? Like, you know, and they took out the trach, so they had to do certain things like, well, when he eats food, does it go in his lungs or does it go in his stomach? You know what I mean? So all these things, like, the Lord's just miraculously working things out. I mean, his doctor, I'll admit, I was not a fan of his doctor. And not because of the surgery, not because of his professional expertise. I think he did a great job. But I could just tell in the spirit there was a lot of doubt around it. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm sitting here holding it, not letting go, I could just tell, I'm like, there's a lot of people that don't think he's going to make it. But I also knew, I was like, but we got inside information. You know what I mean? So, and come to find out later on, his doctor said, yeah, Ron, I thought we lost you. I thought we were going to lose you two or three times. And I said, I didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're not losing it. Like, we know what.
You feel alone in the spirit sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but
And so Des Moines, he started getting better and better. The trach came out. The first time we got to go see him through all of this, we walk in and this lady's wheeling this whatever machine, because I'm not around this stuff every day, so, but she's wheeling this machine out, and I go in, and it's like, hey, Dad, how's it going? And I asked the nurse, I think he was sleeping, I asked the nurse, I said, so how's he doing? Well, he just got off the ventilator, he's been breathing for however many days, fine by himself, and here they're rolling out the ventilator as we're coming in. Like, so all these, really all these miracles that the Lord is performing all the way through the process. I mean, when I say he had a sore, like, there was a couple of them. One of them, you could have taken a 3 stack of golf balls and, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just to show, not to gross you out, but just to show you how powerful our God is. You know what I mean? And then, you know, so he's been going, he was able to do like a home test thing. From Des Moines, he went over to like a care facility to where they would have skilled nurses that helped him, which basically means he'd hit his button, nobody would come, and he was getting sick of it. And that was actually a mental thing for him more than a physical thing. Mm-hmm. So even the Lord just keeping and protecting his mind during that time. Just the power of prayer is absolutely amazing. I know for an absolute fact, had we not been coming to this church like we have been and just learning, sitting under the Word and endeavoring to be doers of the Word, Dad would be gone. I have no doubt in my mind. And that's not to point any spotlights at us. It's what's available to all of us. Should we stand in the gap? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's easy. And that's the whole thing. It was easy the whole time. It tried to be stressful, but when you have the answers, it's easy.
Yeah.
And so now Dad is at home. He's doing well. He still has some things, you know. But as far as that goes, he's came through with flying colors more than they expected. He went back to the hospital and met all the people that helped him and all this other stuff. And it's been a learning experience, because when you go through something like that, you realize, you're like, you know something? There is an authority at the throne of grace. Well, and yeah, you've mentioned it before that just there's more revelation about that. More to where we got to know that we can stand right in front of God and say, you know, this is how it's going to be. Command ye me.
Yeah.
You know, this is how it's going to be. And he's going to say, that pleases me. Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. He wants to do that anyway.
Yes.
He just needs you to ask.
Yes.
He needs you to stand.
So, yeah, Dad's doing well, and God's a miracle-working God, and we got authority in prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. That, in that situation, his dad didn't have a foundation of healing or anything like that. So it was, you know, anyway, that's why some things happen the way they happen. You just have to lay hold of it for them and do what you can by faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. I think maybe we'll do one more before we leave. Maybe Vanessa, you want to come up? Miss Vanessa, put that camera down. Come on up here. Have these been good?
All right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She's got notes. Uh-oh.
I'll keep it short.
I normally let out in 2 minutes.
I'll keep it short. Well, as short as I can. I have two testimonies I wanted to share. The first one is a tag on to the testimony I shared last year. So if many of you guys were here last year, I shared a testimony about how God blessed me with my Jeep. And so that was a great testimony. But I wanted to share part two of that testimony. And that was that... to start out, at the beginning of the year, in February, February 24th to be exact, I got in a car accident. And I was in my Jeep and I was driving up and ended up getting in a car accident with another car. And I remember on the spot, it matters what you say when situations come at you. The first thing that comes out of your mouth is so important. And I remember getting out of my car and just going back or going to the front of the car and looking at the damage. And I just remember the first thing that popped up out of my spirit was, ha, 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 devil. Okay, all right, you want to do this? Then you're going to regret that. And we're coming out ahead, you know. And that was kind of just the first thing that came to me. And then after that, obviously, it hit me a little bit that the car that I had just gotten blessed with the year prior now had been in an accident, and it was kind of a little wrenching for me in the moment, but I got over it, and many of you guys encouraged me and just said, hey, you're coming out ahead, don't worry about it. Pastors were super encouraging for it in that moment, and I stuck to that, and I kept that as my, I'm coming out ahead. And so I just moved on, and I started working with the insurance company to see what the options were, and they came back and they told me, well, there's too much damage on the car. Even though it didn't really look like there was a lot of damage, they said it was enough that they'd have to toll out my car. And so that kind of was, oh, man. I was hoping to at least be able to get it fixed and use it again. So instantly I just kind of said, okay, you know, what's next? What do I need to do? And I remember sharing that with Pastor Jay, and he just kind of subtly said, well, what about a new car? You know, what do you think about a new car? And I think Reverend Brian and some other of you said the same thing. What about a new car? And for me, you know, I liked my Jeep so much that a new car hadn't even really dawned on me in the moment. And so I, you know, that resonated with me, and I said, okay, well, yeah, what about a new car? So then I started looking, and I had kind of two options. It was a newer Jeep or a Cadillac. I was like, well, why don't we throw that in the mix and just see what happens? And so I kept going back and forth, and they said, they gave me two options on the Jeep. They said either it was totaled, so they'd either take it away or they'd pay out and I'd keep it or however that works. So I just said, no, I'm going to keep it. I'll sell it. I think it's worth more than what you guys are offering me. And so I ended up keeping it, but still in my mind, I had my own formulated plan that I was going to sell this Jeep, then use the money, and then get a new car. And so there was a service that Pastor was teaching. I'm trying to follow my notes at the same time. But he basically was talking about don't think God has to work the way you think he has to work. Okay? And that just kind of hit me, and it dawned on me in the moment I was sitting over here. I don't have to wait to get a new car. I could get a new car, you know? Like, it just kind of came up in my spirit that I don't have to wait to sell my other car to get a new car. And then the amount of how much I needed to put a loan down for the new car came up in my spirit. And so I said, okay. And I'm a pretty fast actor. I don't sit on things very well. And so I immediately called the bank the next morning and said, okay, I want a loan for this much and whatever. And they asked me, do you have a car in mind? And I said, no, not yet. I'm looking for one. And so they approved me for the loan, and I kept going. So like I said, I was looking at either a Jeep or a Cadillac, and I remember sharing that again with Pastor. And for me, the Cadillac was always in the future. After I get married, I'll get a Cadillac. Or years down the road, I'll get a Cadillac. It was always in the future. I never had it for today. And so I was in the mind leaning towards a Jeep. But Pastor said, as I was sharing with him the options, he said, get the one for the future. He didn't tell me which one to get. That's all he said, get the one for the future. And the moment he said that, that just resonated right with me, because I always said, I'll get a Cadillac in the future. So when he said that, it just came right back, okay, get a Cadillac. That's what I'm getting. And so your instinct is to go to the lowest Cadillac that you can get, because Cadillacs aren't necessarily inexpensive, right? But the Lord said, he started encouraging me, what are the features you want? What do you want in a Cadillac? And so I started looking, I started going through and listing, I need remote start and all these things, and I had a list of things I wanted. And so then I got to the end, and I said, okay, which version is that? And I look, and it's like the premium platinum version. And I was like, okay, how's that going to work? And so I had looked and I had found a couple virgins. There was one that didn't look super great inside, but it looked good on the outside. But the Lord kept leading me back to that one, and it didn't state which virgin it was. So I had just talked to the seller and just asked several questions. Does it have this, 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 this? And come to find out, it's a pearl white Cadillac platinum virgin and at a really good price, which seemed really odd. And so if you guys know the story of the Jeep, I kind of have done the faith road in this area. And so sometimes when situations come up, again, you like to go at them the same way you went at them the first time. Well, the Lord reminded me of the story of Moses and how Moses hit the rock the first time. The Lord told him to speak to the rock the second time, and he hit the rock anyway. Well, the Lord, that came up in my spirit when I finally found this other Cadillac, and he said, don't hit the rock. What he was telling me is, don't do it the way that you know how to do it. He's saying, follow the Spirit and do what I'm telling you to do. And so, and then he said, the second thing Moses got out of wrong at in that moment was that he tried to take all the credit for it, that he did it himself, and I know how to hit the rock and get water out of it. You can't take credit for it. It's God's thing. God works the way that he wants to work and will lead you on how to do it. And so I determined, because the steps I was taking, I talked to Miss Jennifer, and I said, I can calculate this. I can calculate this. If I can calculate it, I'm doing it myself. I need to know where God is in this. And so I had started talking to the seller, and I'm speeding it up. My brother had prompted me to ask him a question, because I was wondering, why is the price so low, man? It's a really good deal. And so my brother said, ask him if the loan is already paid off on the car. He's selling it. Is the loan paid off? So I asked him the question, and he came back and said, I'm trying not to cry, because I knew it was God the moment he said it. He said, no, the loan's not paid off, but I am not going to charge somebody else. I wanted to give them a good deal. So I'm only selling it for this amount. I'm paying off the rest of the loan. And I was like, okay, that's God. And, you know, it was just kind of one of those, I know how God works in my life, and that was God. And so I just moved forward with it, and we got the deal worked out. I went to the bank with him. He paid that part off, and I only had him give him the portion that he had asked for. And he ended up, like, throwing in some car mats and some other things. And, you know, and so all in all, I got my white, pearl white Cadillac, but if you guys remember the story last year, and this is a part of the testimony that I thought was so great. If you remember, there was the Ishmael, the rendezvous. The rendezvous.
The rendezvous.
The rendezvous came about because before that, there was a Cadillac SRX. It was an older version that the Lord had led me to. And if you guys remember, I had got it all worked out. I was on my way and got into fear, got off the highway, and missed out on my Cadillac.
There's Ishmaels and there's Rendezvous.
Yes. Yes. And so that's how I ended up with the Rendezvous, was that I missed the best, and then I ended up with the Ishmael. Well, God doesn't forget, and he also doesn't let blessings go ungranted or promises go unfulfilled. And so I just thought that was so great that the Cadillac before was going to be an older model, and he didn't forget that. The devil tried to steal my Jeep, and so I said, I'm coming out ahead, and God said, I bless your words. You're coming out ahead. I'm going to give you the Cadillac that you wanted. And so I ended up getting a newer Cadillac. And then on top of that, I got to keep the Jeep that is now paid off. And my brother helped me fix it up. So now it's drivable. So now I have two cars. Ha ha ha, devil. And and I'm able to be a blessing to others. You know, if they need a car or a vehicle, you know, that is so fulfilling to me to just say, hey, here you go. You know, because God has now made provision when the devil tried to steal. And so be encouraged. If there's something you're believing for, hold tight to it because it'll come back around. Even if you've missed it, yeah. It'll come back around. So there's that one. And then I'll make the other one as short as I can. And that is, as you guys also know, for many, many, many years, I have been believing to get engaged and get married. And that's, yay, I'm engaged. So that is a testimony, but the journey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. There he is. But the journey is just as much of a testimony as it is just, you know, the testimony in itself of being engaged. And, you know, that being engaged and getting married is a blessing of God. But the one thing I learned, and I wanted to encourage those who might be seeking to be engaged or on that route or whatever, but just the faithfulness of God. And I would never go back and do the journey differently. And the reason why is because back in December 24th, 2017, Pastor Jay taught a sermon on prepare for God's plan. In that plan, he talked about being prepared, getting ready, and becoming the person that your spouse may want to marry or, you know, whatever, being prepared for whatever stage in life you want to be at. And when he taught that message, I just latched hold of that. I wasn't even in full-blown faith at that point, but it just resonated with me. And I said, okay, I'm getting prepared. Lord, what do I need to do? What's next? How do I need to prepare? And the Lord started me on this journey of preparation. And Pastor said it time and time again, preparation time is never wasted time. And it always pays off. And so I started this journey. The Lord told me about this one. And and one thing that I had to remember was Hebrews 12:2 that talks about the author and finisher of your faith. And Romans 15:13 that talks about the God of hope. That the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And throughout these last 3-4 years, that's been the two verses that I've held on to. God authored it, and so he is the finisher of it. He will bring your faith to completion. And so there were several times where in the flesh, I wanted to give up. And I wanted to say, okay, Lord, if you're okay with me moving on, I'm okay with moving on. And every time I would check my spirit, and he'd say, no, it's not time. Or I'd go talk to my pastors, and they'd say, hold yeah. on, stay yeah. patient, you know.
Once a week. No, it wasn't that often. I'm just kidding.
And it all paid off. And I remember in 2020, Pastor had called me forward and he said, faithfulness and steadiness will all pay off. And that to me, I mean, that was like the brink of my, I'm almost done, Lord. I don't know how much I have left, you know. And that piece of encouragement right there just held me steady and held and was just a rock for me. And I stood on that faithfulness and steadiness, so all pay off. Faithfulness and steadiness, so all pay off. It'll all pay off, Lord. Lord, it's going to pay off, right? You know? And I do have to say that after all that I've learned, and like I said, there's much here, but I'm not going to go into all that. But, you know, all that I've learned, you know, that's the biggest encouragement I can say. Stand and keep stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand. And when you think that your faith is no more, Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. And he'll give, that faith will be increased.
Yeah.
And just keep standing, whatever little inkling you have left in you. And God will bring your faith to completion. And it'll be all worth it. So, amen. So, that's my testimony. I don't know if you have any words, but praise God.
Did you want to say anything?
Well, it's been a journey for me, too, you know, just over the last 3 to 4 years. You know, to be honest with you, God actually spoke to me about her back in 2018. It was kind of the spring of 2018, but I didn't know really what that meant, you know, in my heart. So I just kind of put it on the shelf at that point. And so, you know, we were starting to work together. I was in sound and, you know, starting to fulfill the coordinator role and things like that. So, yeah. Wait a minute. No, just kidding. No. But anyway, we were working together. No. So, you know, over the course of, you know, the last few years, we've been building a relationship and getting to know each other, which was really interesting because, you know, I look back now and I laugh and I think, you know, really we were kind of going through the dating phase, I guess, if you will, getting to know each other, because at that point, I'm thinking we're just friends, right? You know, and so we'd have these long conversations and all this stuff, you know, sharing. And so, it's awesome. I mean, I look back and I think, wow, that was fantastic, because it's not like I just met her and I'm trying to, you know, figure this. I've known her, you know, for years. And so, anyway, so fast forward.
And one night, Vanessa and I were working on something late, and I went to take her back to her car over there. And there's Tim in his truck. I'm like, you're not dating? What's he doing here? Oh, he's just waiting for me. I was like, you're dating already, okay? I was gonna get ready.
I forgot about that.
Was that a word of knowledge?
Yeah, I know. No, I do remember that, actually. So, but anyway, earlier this year, you know, God started talking to me more strongly about, hey, this is my plan, you know, start taking some steps. And so just everything kind of sped forward. You know, God ministered through Pastor Jay to me a couple times this year. And one of the things that he said was there'd be a new phase this year. And so it was right after that, within the, you know, the next couple of months, you know, we had some very long conversations and decided to take some steps, and then here we are, you know, we're engaged. And so, you know, it's been actually amazing over the last 6 months, just what he's done, you know, within my heart and revealing her heart to me and just opening my eyes. And it's just, you know, concerns that I had just in talking with her, just they would all just melt away, you know. It was just like, wow, praise God. And I remember early on, when we decided to date, we'd have these conversations, and I would tell her, we can't stop talking because something's happening in here, and I don't know what's going on. So, it's been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. So.
Oh, that's great.
I'm done.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yay! I was talking to him on Sunday, and I said, next Sunday I'm open if we need to have a wedding, but they decided to wait a little bit for some reason. Amen. Well, have you enjoyed these tonight? Praise the Lord. You might think, you know, a testimony about a car, what's the big deal? You know, a lot of it is the training that God has somebody in. It's not as much about a car as it is the training, the learning, the experience of learning the follow the Spirit and learning, you know, not to get rendezvous and things like that. You might try to go figure that out. Rendezvous. She brought this car home. It's a Rendezvous. Is it a Buick? Whatever. Rendezvous. And she thought, she had never heard of one. She just read the word and looked like Rendezza to her. So she came home and was bragging on her Rendezza. And we're just laughing. We couldn't stop laughing. We thought that was hilarious. So we will let her forget it, maybe over in the millennium, but anyway. Praise the Lord. Well, stand with me to your feet. God's done many things in many of our lives. Many of us could give testimonies tonight. But let's just rejoice in what we heard tonight. Thank you, Father, for these testimonies. Lord, we're so grateful for your work in these lives. And Lord, thank you that you are faithful to do for us what you've done for them. Thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness to them. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. We believe, Father God, for more and more of the happenings of God, the leadings of God, the miracles of God, the provision, the healings, the working of things that are impossible to bring it to pass. Father, there's no one like you that can do what no man can do. We rejoice in you, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, for we're just getting started. Father, you who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And Father God, we thank you for the miracles, signs, and wonders that 2022 will be filled with to bring forth your glory, to manifest your goodness so that all the world can see how good you are. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. We don't believe in coincidences. We don't believe in just things happening because they would have happened anyway. We believe in the working of angels. We believe in the working of power. We believe in directing us and leading us by your Spirit. And we thank you. Everything you have planned for us, it will all come to pass. Whether it takes a mountain being moved, whether it takes the Red Sea being split, Father, we thank you for miracles. Miracles to get us where we're going in the name of Jesus. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. We offer it to you freely. And Father, open doors for us to tell the world, to tell those around us of what you've done for us. Father, we'll give you all the praise. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I'm glad you came tonight. Did you enjoy that tonight? I know just watching some lives, I know some people seem to never have a testimony. And let me tell you a pattern I've noticed of why. Because of unforgiveness. You know what I mean? Because of strife. That shuts the power down. How many of you know that we need to keep the power active and flowing? So let's be people that focuses on that this year in 2022. What do you say? Because if we don't ever have a testimony, we ought to ask ourselves why. Mark 11, 23 and 24 works for people that do 25. Amen. So let's see the glory of God in 2022. Amen. Father, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for all that you've done in all these years. But Father, we just claim your fullness and your best in 2022 in the name of Jesus. We are the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against us this year will prosper. It's under our feet. Satan will not prevail. We walk in the authority. We tread on all the forces of darkness. And we thank you where the world can't receive and is just not experiencing any of the goodness of God. We thank you. We go from glory to glory. No matter what happens out there, we are blessed. We're walking in the blessing. And we'll see the glory of God this year. In Jesus' name, amen.